Welcome, my friends, to the United Socialist States of America, the USSA. That's right. As of Sunday, America has tipped the scales. And this is a historical event. According to the Democrats, but also pretty much any conservative will tell you, too, this is an historic event in the history of the United Socialist States of America. We have been about a 45% socialist nation over the last 20 years or so, been in a holding pattern now for a little while. But now, as of Sunday's vote on the part of the House of Representatives, America is now an official socialist country. Of course, a year ago, Newsweek magazine headlined, "We're all socialists. Socialists now, red and blue, Republican, Democrat, we are socialists." We're past the denial stage, but of course we had to go through the health care bill debate, and thanks to the vote on the House on Sunday, and of course the pro-life Democrats came out and showed their true colors and supported the pro-abortion health care bill. Because they are so committed, of course, to this agenda of big government where people are as immoral as the day is long so that they will seek security on the part of the state. Either you be governed by God or by God you'll be governed, said our founders. And we pretty much have confirmed that as best as we can. We've aborted as many of our children as possible, destroyed the family, destroyed fatherhood in this country, and created the largest socialist state in the world. Well, Dave... Just a day or two ago, the President of the United States signed the health care bill. It was a memorable occasion. And Joe Biden, to celebrate it, leaned over to the microphones and said, "This is a big effing deal." Okay, I can't say the word on the air. "This is a big rapin' deal." The word is rape that he was looking for there. And he just said, "This is a big rapin' deal." Dude, I can't think of a time where America has had such obscene leaders. Such vulgarity, such perversity, I would say probably worse than some of the cannibalistic tribal leaders in some of the very, very, very worst places in all of the world. I'd say American leaders have pretty much hit the depths in terms of their vulgarity, in terms of their willingness to say, you know, "This is a big rape and deal, God. God, I'm going to shake my fist in your face. We have accomplished something, and I'm going to use the most vulgar language that I can possibly find to shake my fist in your face and say, we did it. We broke your law in the best way we could possibly find to do it. We hate you, God. We won. We're the most powerful people in the world now because we have made the most powerful state that the world has ever known. And God, it was a big raping deal." Well, Joe Biden out there in front explaining to everybody at the press conference how important this was for the most perverse, vulgar, and obscene leaders that the world has ever known, as in Joe Biden and, of course, the most pro-infanticide, pro-abortion president of the United States. And just a day or so ago, we had Rush Limbaugh come out and remind us all again. I've reminded everybody just about every other show for the last year since he was elected president of the United States that he is the most pro-infanticide president in the United States. Folks, and he was at the lead on this one, and he's ecstatic now because he won the battle. No real surprise, though, Dave. This is not a surprise, really. I mean, when Americans voted all Democrats, President, Senate, House, they wanted the Democrats. Everybody knows Democrats are pro-abortion for the most part. There's a few exceptions, but when it comes down to it, they are more committed to pro-abortion stand than the Republicans are to the pro-life stand. They are more committed to socialism than the Republicans are by a long shot. Everybody knows this. It's a no-brainer. It's been that way since William Jennings Bryan turned the Democrat Party towards socialism in the 1900s, 1910, 1920. So, yeah, the Democrats are socialists, and Americans love socialism. They want big government. They seek security from the state. Well, they got their socialism.
They did get their socialism. They got their socialism by hook and by crook. Okay, mostly by crook. This was the time when bribery was on full public display, and we said, no, that's politics. That's not bribery. That's politics. Each phase of this process was corrupt. It was corrupt in the Senate when they twisted arms, and they had to pass it at midnight. It was corrupt when it passed the House the first time. Well, actually, that bill never was voted on, at least in conference. It was the Senate bill that was voted on. It was corrupt in the way that they bribed and they threatened in order to get their majority. Now, of course, the Democrats held the numbers. The Republicans could do nothing as a party to stop them. But it was so sad to see people like Bart Stupak, who claimed to stand for life, just give it away. Just personally give it away. And obviously the principle of life was not very important to Bart Stupak. I think this is an eye-opener for those of us who have been in denial that America somehow or other retained some of its godly roots. Not this week.
I was checking out the Constitution of the United States just a day or two ago, Dave, and have you read the document? It's an interesting document. It's a good read.
It's a good read. Yeah. It makes you actually a bit more educated than most of our civil magistrates and judges.
Well, here's a line that I took out of the Constitution of the United States, folks. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. And then I got to thinking about this bill. As I recall, this was the Senate bill.
Right, right.
This was the Senate bill. It was originated in the Senate. It was not the same bill as the House of Representatives. So they brought the Senate bill back into the House of Representatives. It originated in the Senate. They voted it on the House, and the president signed it. Hey, it's done. All except for the fact that it didn't really comply with the Constitution of the United States. But when was the last time we complied with the Constitution of the United States, Dave? I'm trying to think. When was the last time the Constitution meant something to somebody?
Well, it's a clear violation of Article 1, Section 7, which you quoted there. It's also a clear violation of the 9th and 10th Amendments to our Constitution, which guarantee those rights not enumerated to the federal government are reserved for the states, which is probably why today better than 12 states, it's up past 13 now, are suing the federal government, saying, no, we say no.
And don't forget, folks, it was the President of the United States on a Chicago talk show who said he wanted the redistribution of the wealth in the Constitution of the United States, and he said the Constitution was fundamentally flawed because it didn't include the socialism, the Marxism that actually came 45 or 65 years after the Constitution was written. But he said it was regrettable that these guys didn't include the notion of redistribution of the wealth in the Constitution of the United States. That being the president. But we voted for this guy. The point is, nobody really cares about the Constitution anymore. At least the masses don't. But they do love their socialism. And do remember that socialism began at the turn of the 20th century, when you had Christians out there advocating socialism with everything they had, like William Jennings Bryan. He was considered the most progressive, the most socialist candidate. He presented himself that way, and he backed socialism as best as he could for 20, 30 years out of his career, and he wanted the public schools. He wanted public schools. He loved public education. He just didn't want eugenics taught in public education, and that's why he fought the Scopes trial. The point being that we've been raised socialists over all these years. Public education raises children to think like socialists because their raising is bought and paid for by their big daddy, the socialist state. When you send your children to the public schools and do so for 5, 6, 7 generations, and the state gives your children the raising, big daddy is paying for their preparation for life, then children understand the message well. They're socialists, and Big Daddy will take care of their Social Security, and Big Daddy will take care of their Medicare, and Big Daddy will take care of their health care, and Big Daddy will take care of everything. This is the way they're taught to think. And folks, remember, the largest socialist voting base in America are single women. 51% of women are single now, more like 53% of women are single at this point. And when you have millions of Republicans and conservatives and Christians raising their daughters to be independent, and this, of course, is the big thing that everybody says, I want my daughters to be independent. I want my daughters to be independent. I want my daughters to be independent. I want them to have their own career. I want them to go out there and work for the big fascist state and then be plugged into the big socialist way of thinking so that they will vote socialist in the year 2014. The year 2018, the year 2025. This is what they want. They want independence. They want the family fragmented. They love the fact. The average Christian loves the fact that the nuclear family now only makes up less than half of American households. This has been the agenda of the Republicans, of the free marketers, of the conservatives. They've done everything they can to create the social environment in which socialism will prosper, in which women become independent, in which children are raised as public schooled socialists, in which there has been a breakdown of fatherhood. And that brings about socialism, too. The passionate opposition to fatherhood on the part of Christian feminists everywhere, and I hear from them all the time. They hate fathers. They hate fatherhood. They hate the relationships of fathers and daughters and fathers and sons. And, of course, the Industrial Revolution also did everything that it could to take fathers out of the home and ruin the family economies so that Almanzo would not be plowing fields with dad anymore. Folks, all of this contributed to what we have today. But don't forget, folks, do the math. Where are we headed with all of this? 120 million dead babies since 1973. 120 million dead babies killed at the hands of the baby boomers. 50 million baby boomers retiring now, within 10 or 15 years from now. And Social Security is bust. Add that to the most pro-infanticide president to ever serve as president of the United States. And what do you get? Euthanasia. Euthanasia. Thanks to the socialist control of health care. There is no other end in mind. I can't think of any other possible future for America but government instituted, government mandated euthanasia coming soon. But we are optimistic on this program. In just a moment, we're going to talk about why we're feeling pretty good. God is good, and God is giving us another way. The island of freedom is growing. We'll be back in just a moment.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, folks. Welcome to the United Socialist States of America. This is a really big, big, big raping deal per Joe Biden. And again, some of the most obscene language that anybody could ever use as a leader applied by Joe Biden at the conference in which the President of the United States signed the most socialist bill that the American House of Representatives and Senate have ever passed. Well, folks, what are we going to expect with this sort of thing? Now, I've got an article from Investor.com. As I've mentioned before, this mandatory insurance that will be required of all the folks in America, except those who are on the island, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, will be an insurance policy that will probably extend to $16,000, $18,000, $20,000 per year. I've seen estimates as high as $24,000 a year. So if you have been making $80,000 and your company has been putting $12,000 aside for your insurance, make that $18,000, make that $20,000, make that $24,000.
Wait a minute. How can that be? I heard the president over and over and over promise that the family was going to say, an average family was going to save, on the average, $2,500. Well, and come on. A man promised it. Yeah. Isn't his word good?
Yeah. The politicians will say what they want to say, but Dave, the facts speak for themselves. Here's the interesting article from Investor.com. Again, not a fringy right-wing sort of a group. I mean, just your average little free marketer, not even a free market organization. But really, you know, just a business magazine out there talking about what to expect with Obamacare. What do you expect with Obamacare? This came out on the 21st, the day that they voted. And here's what the guy says. You can expect a lot of different things. You're young and don't want health insurance. You're starting up a new business. Need to minimize expenses. Tough. You'll have to pay a fine for the privilege to forego health insurance. You're young and healthy. Want to pay for insurance that reflects that status? Tough. You'll have to pay for premiums that cover not only you, but also the guy who smokes three packs a day, drinks a gallon of whiskey, and eats chicken fat off the floor.
Yummy. Chicken fat.
You would like to pay less in premiums by buying insurance with lifetime or annual limits on coverage? Tough. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer such policies. Think you'd like a policy that's cheaper because it doesn't cover preventive care or requires cost sharing for such care? Tough. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer such policies. You're an employer and you would like to offer coverage that doesn't allow your employer's children to stay on the policy until age 26? Tough. Ain't gonna happen. You must buy a policy that covers ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity, newborn care, mental health, and substance use disorder services, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative, habilitative services, devices, laboratory services, pediatric services, oral and vision care, on and on and on. You're a single guy without children? Tough. Your policy must carry pediatric services. You're a woman who can't have children? Tough. Your policy must cover maternity services. You're a teetotaler? Tough. Your policy must cover substance abuse treatment. Do you want a plan with lots of cost sharing and low premiums? Well, the best you can do is a bronze plan, which has benefits that provides benefits that aren't actually equivalent to 60% of the full actuarial value of the benefits provided under the plan. You're an employer in the small group insurance market, and you'd like to offer policies with deductibles higher than $2,000 for individuals, $4,000 for families? Tough. Ain't going to happen. You're a large employer, and you do not want to provide health insurance to your employee that you will pay $750 fine per employee. You want an employer who offers health flexible spending arrangements and your employers want to deduct more than $2,500 from their salaries for it? Sorry, can't do that. If you're a physician, you don't want the government looking over your shoulder? Tough. Secretary of Health and Human Services is authorized to use your claims data to issue you reports and measure the resources you use, provide information on the quality of care you provide, and compare the resources you use to those used by other physicians, and on and on and on it goes. All right, there are 20. I just hit about 10. Folks, the bottom line is you've got a one-size-fits-all sort of a insurance policy that is going to be imposed upon everybody in America, the end result being that if you've been paying $10,000, $12,000 per year for premiums, it's going to be much, much, much higher in the years to come. And, of course, don't forget the socialized element of this, because much of this is going to push a lot of the middle-income families over into socialized health care. That's the goal here. That's the goal. Up to this point, only 35, 40% of American health care is supported by government. The goal is 65%. The goal is government supports as much health care as possible so that by the year 2025, America is entirely socialized and American people are socialists, not just in their education, not just in their child raising, but in their health care, in their businesses, in every single aspect of life. Hey, the communist governments went to total socialism by means of two revolutions. We've done it in 30 to 40 elections. They went to hell in a casket of thorns. We're going to hell in a casket of velvet, but we're still going to hell in a socialist way of thinking here. But folks, we don't have to live this way. Personally, I don't think we have to live in a socialist country. We don't have to buy into socialism. We don't have to accept socialism. Dave, it's interesting. When socialism first came to America, governments only taxed about 10% of our income. Now it's up to about 60 to 65%. Now we've become an almost totally socialist nation. And because the majority of Americans are getting their health care, their paychecks, etc., from the government, of course, every future election will push us more towards socialism, as far as I can tell, until, of course, government is bankrupt and the entire economy is collapsed. And maybe at some point in the future, there'll be some massive revolutions and wars that will shake some things up. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future. But for right now, it appears that we're moving towards total socialism. But at the turn of the century, people were thinking very socialistic. The problem is they were still very independent and responsible in their way of handling their own lives. In fact, they didn't really rely on public medicine that much. They didn't rely on medicine all that much. It wasn't much more than 5% of people's income going to a couple of pills, or maybe a surgery occasionally, but medical care wasn't that big of a deal. Today, of course, it's 25 to 30% of the gross national income at this point. So government, back 80 years ago, wasn't interested in socialist health care because health care didn't involve all that much of a part of our lives. But today, health care makes up 25 to 30% of our lives, and so of course government wants to go for it. Of course they want to control it because the goal is total socialism, get their brains in jars, and make sure that you control every single aspect of these people's lives.
Well, Kevin, you don't have to participate in the healthcare system, the socialist healthcare system. You're absolutely right. You have several alternatives. One of them is you could become a congressman, because they're exempted. Okay. So that's one. Sure. So if you don't like the plan, become a congressman, and you don't have to participate in the plan. You get your own plan. It's a much, much better plan. And your staff, you could become a staff member of a congressman. They're exempted. So that's the second way that you could do it. So there's two ways. The third way is you could become Amish. They're exempted. I'm not sure how the Equal Protection Clause really applies there. But the Amish, they're exempted. I believe the Muslims are exempted. You could become a Muslim. Mm-hmm. So there's at least four different ways, that, you know, creative ways that you could think out of the box here a little.
Well, and of course, there was an exception made in the Senate bill, which is very, very important for us, for the Christian healthcare sharing ministries. And we, of course, have talked about Samaritan Ministries many times. If there's ever been a time that it is important for you right now to get on the phone and call Samaritan Ministries, or just go online to SamaritanMinistries.org and check it out, folks. It is right now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is an exception. And thanks be to God, there is somewhat of an island of freedom in America for things like homeschooling. It's one of the few countries in the world that allow the door wide open for legalized homeschooling in all 50 states around the country. So education-wise, you can exempt yourself from the government-funded socialist systems. You can. You don't have to be a socialist. Yeah, you don't have to be a socialist in America. You don't have to. You don't have to send your children to the public schools and take the federal dollars and the state dollars. You don't have to be a socialist. And you don't have to be in this mandated insurance program, this mandated socialist medicine system. You can still exempt yourself thanks to the language that exempted healthcare sharing ministries in the Senate bill. I think it's interesting the House bill didn't pass. The Senate version of the bill eventually worked its way through, and I know they used all kinds of evil machinations to bring that all about, but, you know, maybe there is a God in the heavens. Yeah, Dave, I mean, maybe he is sovereign. You know, maybe he is trying to protect his people, and he's protected homeschooling for a long time. Maybe he's trying to protect those people who don't want to be part of the socialist systems and are part of the Christian healthcare sharing ministries, like SamaritanMinistries.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a pretty good mood, and here's what's going to happen, I think, in the future. In the future, yeah, I think that government is going to destroy our standard of living. I mean, it's going to happen, guys. Socialism always does this. The economy is falling. The character of the nation is collapsing. People are seeking security instead of freedom. As Benjamin Franklin said, people willing to trade their freedom for temporary security deserve neither and will lose both. They'll lose their security. They'll lose their freedoms. They'll lose all of that. And they'll lose their prosperity because they're turning all of these things away from personal responsibility over to large bureaucratic governments. Trust me here. Trust me on this one, folks. Our prosperity will not be there in the future. So let's say, for example, you may be only making $15,000 per year in the year 2024. I may only be making $15,000 in the year 2024 because I've been taxed to death, because government is ruling everything. Well, again, I don't have to turn my widows and the impoverished people in my life over to Social Security and over to government. I don't have to do that. I can still peel off $5,000 of my $15,000 and give it to the poor in my churches. And Dave, we saw this happen in Russia, in the Soviet Union. We knew people who went over there and found that these churches collected their pittance in terms of their offerings, but they gave 80 to 90% of it over to the widows. They continued to support the widows despite the socialist systems that were in place that were supposed to be taking care of the widows, but instead, I'm sure we're euthanizing them, as we will be doing ourselves. The point is, you don't have to be a socialist, friends. Even if it is imposed, you don't have to be a socialist. You can still reach for your wallet and give a widow $20. You can still let her have a little tiny, you know, 20, 30 square feet in your own basement. You can still do that. You don't have to be a socialist. I know that most of Americans are socialists, but as far as we're concerned, we're throwing away the system that's utterly bankrupt and destroying the character of the nation, and we are going to insist on charity that is voluntary, local, relational, accountable. We're going to continue to not to be socialists, and we're going to peel off an island of character, an island where our charitable systems are far, far, far better than whatever the bureaucratic government euthanizing systems are doing out there. We're going to have our own systems. We're gonna develop our own social system on our island, and that's going to happen in the years to come.
You know, Kevin, if the reason we got into this mess, and I believe the reason is because we hate children. We used to think in this country about preserving liberty for our children, about preserving faith for our children, about preserving opportunity, giving them a better world than we had. We stopped that. We stopped that a long time ago when we adopted Sir Maynard Keynes' view of economics, which is a way to steal from one generation in order to spend it and party today. It is the party now, screw the next generation idea. We sent them off to public schools because we didn't love them. We didn't want to raise them. We'll let them raise it. I've got selfish ambition to chase. We aborted them. We murdered them by the millions, and they're not here to support us now. We hated children. We have engaged in so many horrible acts of hating children. This health care bill funds abortion, the very most seminal act of child hatred, murdering them. If we are going to reverse this, we have a people have to repent. We have to start loving children again. We have to start building a future, a hope for them again. Not one where we steal from them and we spend it today, but one where we give them something, a legacy, a heritage, yes, even an inheritance. The government may try and take it away, but we've got to stop. We got to stop the hatred. We got to start loving children again.
They can have their abortion. They can have their euthanasia. They can have their $20,000 a year insurance policies. We're going to go with our own healthcare sharing ministries, which, by the way, are way, way, way less expensive than these insurance programs and these socialist systems. And what, $3,000-$4,000 per year? While they're aborting their children by the hundreds of millions, we're adopting them. While they're euthanizing their older people, we're taking care of them in our basements, in our homes. While they're destroying education, destroying discipleship, destroying the character of the nation, we're discipling, we're mentoring, we're loving, we're bringing biblical principles to bear. Folks, the system is rotted to the core, rotted to the core, rotted. The system is rotted. Joe Biden already expressed that well in words. The system is rotted to the core. Build your own system from the bottom up. And that's what my book, The Second Mayflower, is all about. I'd encourage you to grab a copy of it at our website, kevinswanson.com. It's a second Mayflower. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And we're building those nations right now in our kitchens and living rooms, in our small churches and communities across this nation. The Second Mayflower, available at kevinswanson.com. You can interact with the radio show by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or catch it at the homeschoolchannel.tv, sponsored by the American Family Association. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.